You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are with Daniel Glickman, CMO at eMaze.com, which is an online business presentation software. Daniel, certainly a privilege to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Man, thanks, Eric. I'm happy to be here.
So tell us, for starters, what is eMaze and what makes it interesting?
So eMaze is an online presentation software, which means you can make presentations in your browser. It's really an alternative to PowerPoint, if you will, a brand new way of looking at how to make presentations. It's very easy to use, very intuitive, and a couple of things that are very interesting about it. One is the technology is brand new, which means you can put in live data, do presentations that are really live on the web and include things that are happening right now, which is very, very interesting. And the other, in terms of the company, what's interesting is we're essentially the only presentation software that's focusing on businesses and is managing to charge money from certain segments and be profitable as opposed to PowerPoint. All the other competition are not managing to do that.
Now, you launched eMaze less than a year ago and already have close to 2 million users. That is absolutely incredible. What were your first steps to get your product moving?
Great question. Well, first of all, you know, when we originally started, we were fortunate. We had a little bit of money, so we were able to start with advertising. And a lot of people ask me this question. They say, I'm stalling out now with a new product. How do I get moving? And really, you have two options to go with. One is get an investment before you launch so you can really put a lot of money into it. We didn't have that much money. And what we did was really focused early on the segments that would be potentially paying. And then we defined those segments of the population which would benefit from the software but wouldn't be able to pay for it or wouldn't be easy to monetize, if you would. And we decided to make it structured in such a way that those paying segments right off the bat would find those features worth paying for and pay for them. So that would give us some revenue to keep going. We did spend a lot of money on R&D, on developing new templates, new technology. So we needed money to do that and keep improving the product. But the other segments, we realized their value to us would be in creating virality, meaning they would spread the word for us and they would get the product moving off the shelves. And that segment in particular is the education segment, where we saw that, you know, teachers, students, their buying process would be very different. They're not the same as businesses. I mean, let's give it to them as a free version where they simply carry our logo and all our interaction with them is let's help them help us spread the word. And that seemed to work amazingly well. It's taking off. And as you said, 2 million users in less than a year and growing very fast. We're really fortunate. It's doing amazingly well.
And those kind of numbers certainly can get you excited under a year in business. You are growing your user base really fast, as we've mentioned, but you are also showing really impressive revenue growth, which is really where it hits the road there. These typically come on expense of each other. How do you manage the balance between the two?
It's not easy, I can tell you that. We've done some zigzagging and experimenting, and that is part of the process, is really trying to figure out that sweet spot. So, you know, one of the questions we've had early on is, you know, how many of our free users could pay but are not paying, right? So how do we know we're just not giving out the software for free to too many people? And what we've discovered is that the more we try to squeeze money out of the users, meaning trying to squeeze features and limit them to say, hey, now you should pay, every time we did that, the user growth slowed down. On the other hand, giving out the software for free would mean we wouldn't have a viable business. It would end up, you know, with just people, everybody would be using it for free, and eventually we'd run out of money. And it's no way to run a business. I know that some startups do that with the hope of getting an investor, but what if you don't? What if, you know, what if the people who are using the software are never going to pay, and then you have to start acquiring new users from the beginning? So it was a strategic decision for us to say the business sector, really, we will find those specific features that only the business sector values and charge for those. So those include things like customizing the template to your brand, things like privacy, which are a big issue in the business sector. If you have a business plan, you don't want everybody to see it. But otherwise, you're very welcome to use the software for free. And in fact, we have several businesses that don't pay, even high-profile ones, that use it and don't seem to mind the logo, and we're happy for that. And I think the tonality of how that that is conveyed to people, and when we simply tell people you're welcome to use it for free for as long as you wish, forever, essentially, I think people respond to that well. You know, there are two models out there, the model of the free trial and the model of the free versus premium. And if you try to mix and match them, I think people get kind of annoyed and confused. And so we've learned to stick to just, we have a free and we have a premium, and not to get that mixed up, but just be happy with our free users, let them do our marketing for us, and be thankful for it. And I think that's the balance right there, is that tone, being helpful to them. We actually help their presentations get visibility on the web. It's a mutual interest. The more visibility they get, the more visibility our logo gets. And so I think people respond well to that. I think most people, they realize that nothing is really free in life, and that they, when they do get something from us, they realize that there's something to be thankful for. And so they take a slightly extra effort in spreading the word and telling people. And we see that about 90% of our traffic is organic, meaning people actually go out of their way to tell people offline about the software. They don't simply send them an email and or forward the email to them. They actually tell them physically, you know, and speak to them or whichever way they want, in ways we can't track, which means that people are actually doing this on their own. It's not us shoving the message through them. It's they're actually going, they're in taking their own efforts to tell others about it. So I think I think as long as that keeps happening, we'll be happy to keep on this relationship and, in fact, do more and more of this.
That's certainly the dream of any business, word-of-mouth marketing. Today we're joined by Daniel Glickman, CMO at eMaze.com, which is an online business presentation software here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Daniel, why are you different from the competition? What makes you unique, and how important is it to differentiate yourself from others in the market?
I think it's vitally important. I think, you know, it really starts with the product. If you don't have a product that is really different or really has something, at least one thing, that's much better than the competition's, in the end of the day, you don't have a sustainable business model. You have to have something amazingly better. And I think there's a wide commitment inside our company, a deep commitment to really always improve our product and be better. I think we're really, really constantly are looking at how to make it better, how to add features. We cannot tolerate bugs. Whenever somebody complains about a bug, we go bonkers about fixing it. And if it takes some time to fix it, we really get frustrated about it. I think that is the key. In our case, you know, we really focus on what is the vacuum that's left in the market. You know, we have one of our competitors is really highly focused on the education sector. They have a very strong presence in schools. And, you know, PowerPoint is very strong in the corporate desktop kind of scene. And so what we realized is that for smaller businesses and medium businesses that want the more innovative product and want some of their presentations to really look good, there are very few companies that focus on that and really provide excellent features. And so most of the features we're developing are towards that vacuum in the market, and we really are becoming the leaders there. I think the features that we have right now that are coming out are highly unique and incredible. And I think there's no argument that when you look at the visuals of the presentations we make, all that people make using our software, they are striking. And I think that's going to always stay that way. So really knowing that we are servicing the business community, specifically the small and medium-sized businesses, and knowing what it is that's going to uniquely define us, which in our case is number one, the visuals, that helps both the users find something unique and interesting, but also helps the virality by people looking at it and saying, oh, wow, how did you make that presentation? What did you use to make it, right? I think that's the key. That'd be my advice, is always find that niche and make sure you get your product to deeply differentiate itself inside that niche.
Most definitely. And how do you manage product development and marketing in your company, and what is the relationship between these departments?
So that's a nice lead-in, because really when we are looking at differentiating ourselves, the feedback that we get comes usually through the marketing department, sales, customer support, right? And so the product design and the, our presentation designers and our developers, they're really relying on us to give them good feedback about what people want to see, right? So typically a lot of companies will develop a product, and then they'll go to marketing and say, sell it, right? Get it out there. I think here we have a very healthy kind of relationship. It's not the opposite. It's not the complete opposite of that. It's not that we go to the product and say, hey, we can sell this, please make it for us. I think it's more of a discussion where they are, they're product experts. They really understand presentations. They really, really understand HTML5 and online presence and interactivity and user experience and all of those things, right, that we don't quite understand. And so when we come to them with feature requests and so on, we'll develop a discussion, and we'll really do something together. And I think I really like the kind of relationship in our company, working with the product that way. And I think that ultimately the users or the client, our clients, they come to us with requests, and they don't always know exactly what they want. I think they know what their problem is that they need to solve. I think they know some of the dreams they would like to see happen. But I don't think they usually know how to define the solutions or what exactly we need to do to solve that problem. And it's up to us to find innovative ways to do that. So I think that really having the product and marketing in sort of equal terms and be good friends is really a good way to go.
Now, where is your product going from here? What interesting features should we see coming in the future from eMaze?
We haven't really mentioned this to anybody before. So this would be the first time I'll be talking about this. That's pretty neat. As eMaze is really around business users. So we have, right now, we have the ability to manage a sales team inside eMaze. If you have a sales team, different salespeople or different account reps, you could have one master template for them and give them different levels of freedom to present things to different clients and cascade any kind of changes through your entire team, right? That's definitely a level of a layer of features we're going to keep working on, in addition, of course, to just regular adding templates and so on. But what really I think is going to make a huge difference is adding analytics into this, into presentation making. So right now you can add live data, or you could send a presentation via email, and we see a lot of that. Salespeople, account reps, like you mentioned, right? They're sending these presentations by email. People are asking for presentation decks. And it would be amazing for people to see who exactly opened that email, who exactly saw the presentation, what slides they spent more time on. So imagine this, you're sending out a presentation, a deck with, you know, your three different lines of products, one for a small business, one for a corporate, and one for, you know, individuals. And the person clicked on the corporate and spent most time looking at corporate solutions. Bingo. You know exactly which sales rep to send that person to and how to give them better service, and you know what they're interested in. So next time you talk to them, you go right to the corporate line of product and not waste their time. And you know, if you're a startup, you're sending a presentation to investors, you can see exactly how far they got into your presentation, whether or not they liked it, whether or not they even opened it. Should you keep bugging them or not, and so on. So those kind of line of features are highly unique. I don't think there's anything else out in the market that even resembles this. And what feedback we're getting from our focus groups is just incredible. They really love this. And you know, on top of that, we're going to add a bunch of other things like live streaming and so on. So, but I think this is really, really, really going to be interesting.
That's absolutely phenomenal. It's exciting, isn't it? In conclusion, any closing thoughts or one final tip you could share with our entrepreneur or future entrepreneur listeners?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs are asking me, you know, how do I get started or how do I get going? How do I manage to get 50,000 users? And they ask them, what's your budget? They say, oh, it's very little, right? So there are really two ways to do this, and my tip is don't confuse them. One way is the standard advertising sales model. You bring in users at a certain cost, right? And you know how much it's going to cost you to bring people to use your product. And you pay for those users in various ways, through various types of advertising, partnerships, and so on. And the key there is to be able to acquire users at a lower cost than the income generated. If your income is a future income, or if you don't have the budget to buy people in a reasonable price, to acquire people in a reasonable price, you have to develop a viral model. And the viral model is essentially a way of saying, how are my users going to bring me more users? Or how are my non-users going to bring me users? So you have to really try and segment, go for that, find out who is your potential premium user and target them very quickly, and everybody else, treat them as a different relationship. Treat them as somebody who's going to help you and help you spread the word and help them help you. And the best products out there, the fastest growing products out there, are really, if you look at it, really do exactly that. So the tip is, how can you help your audience help you spread the word?
It's emaze.com. Daniel, congratulations on your huge success, and may that continue. And thanks so much for taking the time to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric. It was a pleasure being here.
And the pleasure was ours as well. We've been speaking with Daniel Glickman, CMO at emaze.com, which is an online business presentation software. And simply visit emaze.com for more information and to get going with the product. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.